First, I want to say a thank you to Sue Stace for recommending today's story. We have so many teachers and former teachers in our congregation that we got really great suggestions for stories. And she recommended the story for last week, too, about filling your buckets. So I hope you all have been enjoying the stories suggested for this summer as much as I have been. For this morning's story, again called Ish by Peter Reynolds, it seems that he has a pretty clear focus to this little story about the young artist Ramon. The crisis of the story is when Ramon's older brother, Leon, makes fun of one of Ramon's drawings by asking, "What is that?" And Ramon seems to suddenly realize his paintings were supposed to be realistic. And now, instead of painting out of joyful abandon, he's trying to be successful in a particular style, a style that he's never really tried to master before. And when little sister Marisol reveals to him the crumpled gallery of his artwork, the turning point is how she redeems for him his own style, even if it's non-realistic, redeems it for him, and he can see it as valid. It doesn't matter if it doesn't look exactly like a vase. It looks vase-ish, she says. And he's able to take delight in the ishness of all sorts. Ishness in painting, ishness in writing, ishness in feeling. And able to live back in the moment by the space that that gives him. I feel like this community Mennonite is a community that has a lot of sympathy for the journey from a literalist take on how one must see or express how one sees the world to a freer framework that allows for different interpretations and variations and expressions of core ideas and experiences. I witness us working really hard to build and believe a narrative that says perfection isn't the aim, that not copying previous interpretations and verbatim is welcome, that you don't have to be perfect or extraordinary at something. I hear you tell each other that a lot, and I especially hear us really working hard for our kids to hear that. And now, I know that we have some people named Leon in this church, so please, exceptions to them when I say this. I get it, because the things that go along with Susan are always terrible, like lazy Susan and boozin' cruisin' and all that kind of stuff. But anyhow, I was going to say, I don't think that we have a lot of Leon energy here, Leon being the older brother. We've got Leon Miller and Leon Crable energy, but not this Leon. When I think of the vibe here, I think it's giving Marisol, which is a good thing. But I think it's in large part because we internalize that family system, many of us. We have within us, each of us, Ramon and Leon and Marisol, which is maybe why we're striving so hard to be kind to one another, because we guess that most of us already know what big brother Leon is thinking, because the voice is inside us. We want to be team Marisol for each other so that each other's inner Leon is evened out, and Ramon can go back to just being Ramon. As he said, when I found out Daryl was the one doing Prelude and Offertory this Sunday, I said, "Can you please play one bad song? I think it would fit perfectly." Because I think it's such a lovely story of pushing through and not allowing yourself to be silenced by the inner critic, and actually using the inner critic in a wonderful way. But in the parlance of today's story, it could be called one-ish song, I guess. he was able to get that first song out by allowing it to be even just song-ish if it needed to be. And of course, it turned out to be very song-ish. But I think there's something even deeper here in this story than a story about transcending perfectionism. For Ramon, his artwork was his joy, his first love, his first thing. The first thing he did when he had a chance to do something, the first thing he reached to express himself. Which got me thinking about the concept of first fruits in our scripture and religious faith tradition. I didn't have us read a whole chapter of Deuteronomy in addition to reading our story this morning, but in Deuteronomy there are lots of laws and rules that are described, especially when the people are putting together kind of a covenanted way of being with God and one another when they enter the Promised Land. And one of those things is that the first produce of the land each season was to be offered to God as a grateful reminder of God's saving in the Exodus. And then with those gifts, the people were to celebrate with their families, with the Levites and the immigrants among them. In other words, your celebration and first fruits provided for the folks in the community without their own land, the Levites and the immigrants, who didn't have land or property or the ability to raise their own. And while they're offered in God's name and in gratitude for God's saving work in the community's survival and flourishing, the beneficiaries were those in the community, everyone, so that everyone could celebrate and eat and have enough. But what really got me thinking was this use of first fruits, the first produce of the season, rather than best fruits. Now, there are places in the Deuteronomy and the law where they specify things like, don't just offer a sheep, make it an unblemished one. There is a thread of bestness, you know, in some of these laws. But first fruits are not best fruits. The emphasis is on the earliest or the first. And it makes me a little teary to think how often the first fruits of our labors go into a trash can, because they're not the best fruits by some standard we've taken in. It seems to me that God is truly hoping that those are the fruits that we share with one another, because that is exactly what will bring joy and a contagious willingness to accept and embrace everyone's first fruits in a community. It's one thing to be a community that says, your first fruits are awesome. We need Marisols showing us their crumpled galleries of our cast-offs. And we need to be Marisols for each other, dumpster diving for one another's discarded first fruits. Stephen King's wife apparently plucked the manuscript of his first novel literally out of the trash. And then it was rejected by 30 publishers. But I think we all know that Stephen King ended up offering many offerings of fiction to the world. Vincent van Gogh's brother and sister-in-law saved many paintings and drawings that Vincent or his mother threw in the trash. Now, I'm guessing they weren't on flimsy paper like this, but there were many Van Goghs that were crumpled up, and luckily many saved. And while it's great that those are the Genesis stories of well-known artists, it's always fun to read a story about a famous person you know and how the discovery of someone's first fruits, everyone realized they were the most amazing and the best. But I think the most radical version of this would be a community that believed so much in first fruits that we learned to bravely celebrate sharing the messy, beautiful mediocrity of our own true first fruits. When we tend to some new life within us or something that is life-giving to us, completely external to how good we are at it, and begin to nurture that into maturity, that has to start somewhere. It starts in the heart with an impulse. And when that first impulse is nipped in the bud, even by, maybe especially by ourselves, what a loss that we can't measure. I remember when one of my daughters fell in love with cookie decorating, granted at a very young age. The ratio of frosting and sprinkles to sugar cookie was something like 1 to 1 to 1. But they were spectacular odes to color and sugar and abundance and abandon and joy. And because we're much better at recognizing the first fruits of fellow humans, especially I think the younger they are, we fawned and fussed over those cookies that were, to be honest, barely gingerbread man-ish. But we could see the joyful offering of self that they were and budding creativity. And thankfully, I don't know if it's because, you know, we were fussing. I don't know. Thankfully, she still loves decorating cookies. And because the older we get, the more we judge ourselves and others on how good an offering is. Not cheering on the public offering of a first fruit, as tender and imperfect and ish as it may be, I think that judgment is so much easier to step into for ourselves and others the older we get. And I'm not saying we should strive for mediocrity in all things, but I think what God desires is that we not try to edit the first fruits of our hearts so much, and that the offering of first fruits is actually a crucial ingredient in building welcoming, nourishing, flourishing communities where there is enough for all. Because ultimately, hopefully, we're aiming to be Ramones, as he was at the end of the book. When Ramon is capable of living into the spirit of first fruits himself, not remaining dependent on Marisol to fish out his discards. As necessary as that crumpled gallery was and is. My prayer, my hope, my wish for you, each, and us all, is that we can be Marisols for one another, yes, but that we ultimately become Ramones who can inspire one another by continuing to offer our brave, first, messy offerings. Like one bad song, I don't think they'll all end up being as gorgeous as that song is, Daryl. But my prayer is that we can begin to live into that so much, that we, our braveness inspires one another to keep sharing and holding and nurturing those first impulses, those first fruits of the creations that we are. So may this story continue to bless us all and inspire us as we offer our first fruits. Amen.